This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I shall be taught from the living word of God, and I will never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. My life will be better after having heard the ever living precious word of God. I will never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I want to turn your attention this morning to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, beginning with verse number 38. It's a message that the Lord has placed within my heart. And it just seemed like it's just keep expanding. And, you know, last time I ministered here a couple of Sundays ago, I ministered by asking the question, who are you imitating? Who are you imitating? And of course, the scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, to be imitators of God as dear children. We are to imitate him. Amen. I think a lot of people in the church world today really haven't gotten a hold of that revelation yet, that we are to imitate God. Amen. We're not to be like Mike. Somebody said Mike. Yeah. Michael Jordan or Tim or Joe or Bill. We are to imitate God. Amen. And but here in the book of Luke, chapter number 10, beginning with verse 38. The scripture says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, speaking of Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful and needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Mary has done what? Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. You know, that's a New King James. I love it from the Message Bible, beginning with verse 40. let's go back to 39. And she had a sister, Mary, who sat before the master, hanging on every word he said. But Martha was pulled away by all she had to do in the kitchen. Later, she stepped in, interrupting them. Think of that. She stepped in, interrupting them. Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen to me? Tell her to lend me a hand. The master said, Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course, and it won't be taken from her. Getting yourself worked up about too much. Can you identify with Martha? You know, as I was reading this passage of scripture, I could say, well, in some ways I can see myself identifying with Martha. You know, I like everything to be a certain way. That is my way. But, you know, every time it's not always my way. Amen. But there is a way. And sometimes if everything is not quite my way, you know, you can cause quite a stir. You know, there's a saying, not that the Lord approves of it, but there's a saying about mothers. They said, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. I wonder why that is. Amen. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So does that mean that you make everybody else uncomfortable? My wife said, sort of. And nobody in the house but her and I. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, my. Now, praise the Lord. She said, again, from the Message Bible, she said, now just think of the, catch this picture there. And they're having the basically, you know, Jesus teaching, talking to them. And so they're in a home. And while Jesus is teaching, she just busts up in the middle of it. I mean, just walk right through the and right into the meeting. And the scripture said she interrupted him. And, you know, oftentimes when you're dissatisfied with something, you interrupt a lot of people, too. Because everything not quite the way we want it to be yet. And we want it to be known. But I thought it was interesting in looking at some things. I pull out a couple of things, first of all, from looking at the study Bible. First of all, where Jesus was, the scripture said he was at a certain village. You know, that means this was a real place. And this was this place was Bethany. Okay. It's interesting looking at Luke. The scripture says the word is used by Luke in his two books in Luke and Acts 101 times, a certain place. Now, Luke was a doctor. Doctors really pay attention to detail, or they should. I would say most doctors pay attention to details. And so Luke, in chronicling what he saw, it's interesting how he does everything. You know, as you look at his profession, you kind of also see in his writing, he's the same way to document everything. And so he used this term to show you how different that is. He used this term 101 times, more than all the other writers of the entire Bible, who use it 95 times. Now, he just had two books. And so out of, 66 books in the Bible? Out of 64 books in the Bible, they only used it 95 times. Luke used it 101 times in two books. And it is only found 26 times in other Gospels and only 9 times in all the epistles. So Luke was very detailed. Now, when we look at Martha, first thing, Martha was not, she was not bad. She was a good person. First of all, the scripture says she received them into her house. So Martha had her own house. Amen. Martha had her own house. And she received them into her house. So she had a spirit of hospitality about her. Amen. You know, the scripture tells us, don't let your good be evil spoken of. So we're looking at some good things. She had some good qualities about her. Martha is generally pictured as being too bothered about serving to hear Christ. But she had her good points, such as she received Jesus. We also find out that she served Jesus. You know, Jesus, Mary, Lazarus, and Martha, they were friends. They had a relationship. They knew one another. You know, before Lazarus, I think this is after the fact, Lazarus had died. we find out that Mary, or Martha, had served Jesus. She prepared a meal for him before. So it was customary for her to cook. It's her house. Okay. Somebody said, we are ordering in today. No. You know, that's always amazing to me. It seems like as we get older, those that are used to be real hospitable, great hostess, they have a tendency to order in more than they do cooking. That's just an observation. You know, to me, that's just an observation. If they know, call Publix and order some chicken. We ain't cooking no chicken today. People, it's amazing. It's been interesting to me. Hear this. It's been interesting to me just to observe this because I watch my like my grandmother, my aunts, uncles, my aunts, and all them. And it's interesting how when I was growing up, man, they always had food. They always cooked. They were always doing this. And then it seemed like the older they get, the less they cook. And you go to the house, you have your mouth set for some things because they fix things a certain way. And you get there and you don't smell anything. And you say, well, what's going on today? He said, well, we're either eating out or we're ordering in. I said, oh, okay. Well, praise the Lord. I love for people to come to my house. Or should I say our house? I like to be hospitable. And it seemed like for me personally, I can never have too many people at my house to serve. As I get joy in seeing people happy because of, you know, just come in fellowshipping, talking and eating, munching, whatever. And I just, to me, that's where I get my joy right there. And so personally, from a man's perspective, I like that myself. Now, I know some men, they ain't not worth 50 cents in trying to cook nothing, anything. Yeah. But Martha prepared for Jesus, food for Jesus before. Okay. And notice she was the first to go to him when in need. When Lazarus, her brother, had died. Martha was the first to go to Jesus. She heard that Jesus was a certain place. She went to him. She told him, said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And then on top of that, she had faith in him. So it wasn't like Mary was this person that, you know, when it came to Jesus, she just ignored him and what he had to say. No, she had faith in him. Because if, matter of fact, let's look over in John chapter 11. Flip over to John chapter 11. This is all like a little sidetrack. John chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. I'll begin with 21 or 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Mary's always sitting, right? Keep moving. Now, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is come into the world. So Martha believed in who he was. Okay? She believed that. And she believed in the physical resurrection. She believed in eternal life. She confessed Jesus to be the Christ and God's son. So Mary is not this person that's just overworked and doesn't have time for the Lord at all. She carries Christ's message to Mary. And look at verse 28 of the same chapter of John. John verse 28. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. So she went and she got Mary's attention, her sister, who Mary was sitting in the house because there were other people with her that were grieving of the death of their brother, Lazarus. And so Mary, we see she's made a little shift. Where this writing is concerned, is she's proactive. You know, some people are very proactive. They if anything's to happen, they're going to make it happen. They're going to make it happen. Thank God for proactive people. Amen. And some people, they're going to sit and sit and sit and sit. And they say, if it's to be, then let the Lord do it. And Martha was not that type person. She said, if it's to be, then I'm going to make it happen. And you know what? I can appreciate the Marthas in life also that make things happen. You know, sometimes Martha, she get a lot of negative things said about her in from this passage in Luke. But I thank God for all the Marthas in the world that are hospitable, that take the time to welcome everyone. You know, there's an art to that. You know, in Romans chapter 12, we're talking about the gifts. It said there's some that are given to hospitality. I thank God for those that are given to hospitality. You know, this church here, this church is given to hospitality. I mean, when people come here, you guys, I tell you, you go all out to make them feel welcome, make them feel a part. Amen. And then, you know, Pastor Vera, as they've been coming here for the last 10, 11 months, you know, they said, man, I tell you guys, you just like roll out the red carpet for us. You're just hospitable. And you know what? That's the spirit that's upon you. And I appreciate it. Now, every church you go to, they're not like that. I'm telling you, they're not. I travel to hundreds and hundreds of churches, and I tell you, all of them are not like that. Yeah. Some folks, you find your way in, and you find your way out. Amen. I've experienced it because I haven't always been a pastor. Amen. I traveled the world. So, yeah, you find your way in, you come in, go, oh, it's like this, huh? Yeah. And then there are other places you go in. I tell you, if you know, going to Eagle Mountain Church in Fort Worth, Texas, George and Terry Pearson, pastor there. And I mean, you're talking about the hospitality on another level. Man, they got it there. They got it working. I mean, when you pull up, they got a parking space for you. I mean, your parking space, and they have somebody standing there for when you get there. They have a cone out there and a traffic cone there, and they'll move that until you come in and park there. And then once you're there, they won't take all your stuff out, your vehicle for you, and you know, escort you into a certain place where they have a big spread of food and drinks and things like that for you. And you hadn't even done anything yet, but just showed up. I mean, and they got, I mean, all the sweetest and the tastiest of this and that and pastries and all this. And, you know, you go into a place like that, say, boy, you know, I like this church already. You hadn't even seen the offering yet, but you just like the presentation to start with. And so, and presentation is real important. Amen. It's so, so important. And, you know, when people are made to feel welcome, they want to come back. When they're not made to feel welcome, I'm telling you, they kind of shake their dust off as they're going off. They shake their dust off their feet. You know, they may not do it physically, but in their mind, they're like, I ain't going back there no more. Praise the Lord. So we appreciate the hospitality. You know, Colette, God has blessed her. I mean, she made a decision to do what she's done and be who she is. But, you know, she's exhibited there here in the ministry all these years. And she worked for the ministry over 10 years and exhibited that here. And so people will give me compliments for her when I go different places. Pastors, different ones will call and they'll talk about how she would give attention to detail and just make sure this is taking place and that's taking place and all that. And they just really appreciate it. They didn't have to tell me that, but they did. So I say that to say I appreciate all the Marthas in this world. Amen. And those that are in this church as well. And also, I just wanted to set it up that Martha was not a bad person. She was not a bad person. Again, oftentimes she's presented in a negative light. But when you look at the big picture, Martha had it going on. And Martha is somebody you want on your team. Amen. The Marthas of life, they go to Seafarers ministry. Work in the Seafarers and help out there. Make a difference. Amen. I put some stuff up on our Facebook page for under the church for our Seafarers. And hopefully you guys go to the church Facebook page and check that out sometimes. And every now and then put a comment in there or something. Say hi or something. That's hospitality, okay? And hopefully everybody likes the page. Yeah, you know where you can click to like it. Hopefully you like it. And in the last week, we've had about 50 people, 50 new likes. You know, and that's huge for that to happen within a week. And so anyway, if you haven't done it, make sure you become a part of that. Now, look in verse 40. Verse 40 of Luke chapter 10. It says, Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Hear this. King James says she was coming about much serving. She was distracted. She was drawn away, drawn different ways. She was overcharged with cares. Notice one thing Jesus didn't do. He did not rebuke her serving, but the excessive care in service. He did not rebuke her serving, but her excessive care in service. There's a time for everything. Amen. You don't have to stop being who you are when there's time to listen to the Lord. And we all need to make time for him. And you know, one of the things is for a person that loves to serve, you have to be careful that you don't go overboard and don't take time for yourself. And that you don't take time for the Lord, because you're so cumbered about serving yourself and you want to make sure that everything is just right to the point that you become frustrated and it becomes a negative, hear this, to be around you. Because everything is not right if it's not perfect. And there comes a time in life when everything is not going to be just right. You do what you can do and let the Lord take care of the rest. In other words, we're not God. Amen. Think about it. We are not God. We do what we can do. But when it's time for us to spend time with God, when it's time to feed ourselves spiritually, we're going to take time to do that. We are not going to neglect that. Now, it's real easy to really get caught up, because I know, because I'm similar to Martha. I'm the type of person, however long it takes for me to do something, that's what it takes. If it takes me till 3 a.m, I'll be up till 3 a.m. And if I have to get up at 6 a.m, I'll get up at 6 a.m. Now, I never talk about that. I never talk about what I do or don't do like that in a negative light and try to cast over on some other people, because that's just what I've chosen to do. But I know in doing that, I have to make time for the Lord. I have to feed myself. Whether it's through me sitting there reading the scriptures, whether it's me listening to a CD or watching a DVD every day, I have to feed myself. I cannot go without feeding. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, how would you know what's proceeding from the mouth of God if you're never listening? So we have to make that time. We have to put that in the schedule. And I know stuff happens in life, but somewhere along the line, you're going to have to cut out something else to make time. Because Jesus said to Martha, one thing is needful. See, spiritually, if you're not in the, if you're beat up spiritually, you're not any good to anybody. If you're anxious, fretful, you're really not good to anybody. You're not in a place of soundness. You're not in a place of wholeness. You're in a place of fretting. Fretting is not good. Some people say, well, I got a vent. I find out my venting becomes less when I spend time listening to him and communing with him. I may have what you would call something that's overwhelming. But the task at hand may be overwhelming. But as I spend time with him, there is strength made available for me to go through what I have to go through. And I can go through with a smile and not fretting. And not making everybody else feel small. Because, you know, you can do everything, have everything just right. You can be very hospitable and everybody else feel just as small. Like, and some people think, I don't care if you don't ever cook nothing else again. Make me feel like that. And, you know, you have to be careful, because if you don't spend time with the Lord, you'll always be talking about you and what you do. And it becomes the big I. And when the focus is on you, it's not on him. Amen. Oh. Praise the Lord. Now hear this. She said, or Jesus said, notice Jesus did not rebuke her for serving, but her excessive care in service. Notice he said also in verse 40, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? To serve alone. What did I ever do? Why me, Lord? Jesus responded, Martha. Notice he called her name twice. That means pay attention. Listen up. Martha, you are troubled. You are careful about many things. You are anxious and agitated about many things. And you know, life can create so many situations that we can all be anxious and agitated about. Such as, some folks don't do what they're supposed to do. Well, you know, one thing I discovered, I can't make nobody do anything. I can't make anyone do anything. They have to decide that's what they want to do. Look in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Let's begin with 24. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Jesus said, do not worry. Now, if Jesus said, don't worry, it must be possible for me not to worry. It must be possible. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't worry if everything was straight. No, he said, worry even though everything is not straight. He said, trust him and he'll help you in the midst of your mess. You just never know who he might move on to help you. I am not to carry the weight of the world on my shoulder. They're not broad enough. They're not broad enough. That's why he tells us, and matter of fact, just turn over there in 1 Peter chapter 5. This is why he tells us. Now, hear this. What I'm talking to you about is good for everyday practical living. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. For why? For he cares for you. Now, can you imagine Martha going talking to Jesus and said, Jesus, don't you care? I mean, she's talking to the author of life, the healer of multitudes. And she said, don't you care? Evidently, Peter must have observed this Martha and Mary situation. The Holy Spirit had him write these words. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Listen here. If you don't humble yourself, I can't humble you. Notice if you humble yourself, the scripture said he will exalt you. He will bring you up. He's the difference maker. But notice our part in humbling ourselves to cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Then notice the next verse. It says, verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Notice it said in verse 9, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So if we don't humble ourselves, we're not in a place where we can resist the enemy. Matter of fact, the thoughts that he come and bring into our mind. You know, you just can imagine Martha in the kitchen getting everything together, fuming about Mary. I tell you, every time I turn around, she's just sitting in the kitchen. She knew I got all this work to do. She see all these people in here, and we supposed to take care of her. We know mama didn't raise us this way. Blah, 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 blah. And finally she had enough, and she just bust through the door. Just interrupted the meeting. Just interrupted the meeting. And talked to the preacher. You know, you ever get worked up like that? That's because of what you've been meditating on. And I'm telling you, you can meditate on so much that it causes you to get up and act. And if you don't humble yourself or submit yourself to the word of God and resist those thoughts, cast those thoughts down, then we'll act out the same way. Amen. And sometimes we may not be as nice as Martha. Martha, the scripture does not record her using any profanity. Now, hear this. I don't care, Christian or not. You have to humble yourself in the midst of all the stuff that's going on. You have to come to a place of peace and reconcile some things on your inside. I don't have to do it all. Somebody said, well, if anything will be done around here, I'm the one to wind up doing it. This one doesn't do that. This one don't do that. That one do that. They all look at them. They all sleep right now. Ain't nobody concerned about Christmas. Christmas is coming. Who gonna put the decoration up? Who gonna do this? Who gonna do that? Who gonna cook the dinner? And next thing you become a basket case. Next thing you know, you're taking a pill or something. Or you're taking something on some rocks. I gotta calm myself down. Isn't it interesting that we have a better way of calming ourselves down than the way the world does? You know, I know sometimes you go to a therapist, they say, well, I tell you, when you get like that, you know, just count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That really don't solve the problem. Because you still got the thoughts in your mind. You haven't cast the cares anywhere. You lowered your blood pressure for a little bit. But it's still unresolved in your mind. And the scripture said, cast all your care over on the Lord, because he cares for you. Do you know that Jesus loves you? Did you know that God loves you as much as he loves Jesus? The Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Some people say, well, if he does, why am I dealing with all this stuff? Well, maybe you haven't cast it on him yet. Jesus said, you are careful and troubled about many things. Notice it wasn't just one thing. Martha had reached a boiling point. She was having a meltdown. She was like a snowball in a hot August sunshine. She just began to go drift down. She had a meltdown and went off. And Jesus not only told her what recognized the situation, but he also told her what she needed to do. Martha, this is how you resolve this situation. He said, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. Jesus has reduced everything, all these cares, all these trials, he's reduced it down to one thing is needful. And he said, you're troubled about many things, agitated about many things, ticked off about a whole lot. Some people use a lot of other terminologies to describe it. And Jesus said, one thing is needful. One thing. Everybody say one thing.
One thing.
When there's chaos, crisis going on, just remember Pastor Clyde and this one finger. One thing is needful. You got to go back to your secret place. And he said, Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Right now, you don't have any peace, Martha. That's been taken away from you. There are some other things that have been taken away from you, too, because you haven't recognized that one thing is needful. Oh, you can quote the word. Oh, you can rattle it off. But it's not enough to be able to do that. It's in the midst of life circumstances that we begin to apply those scriptures that we quote. In the book of Isaiah 26, verse 3, the scripture said, he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. He would keep me in what kind of peace?
Perfect.
Man, perfect peace. I'll tell you, Martha could have experienced perfect peace in the midst of having to deal with what was in the kitchen. Don't allow anything to steal your peace. Number one, don't allow anything to steal your peace. Number two, don't allow anything to steal your joy. The scripture said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Because if you ain't got no joy, you don't have no strength. And don't tell them what you might do. Just might fly off the handle and hit somebody before you know it. Or say some things you wish you hadn't said. You're not going to steal my peace. You're not going to get my joy. And you know what? You're not getting my faith. Because when I'm troubled, I'm agitated, I'm not in a place of releasing faith. I love the word that Jesus used. He said, Mary has chosen. Mary has chosen. Life is choice driven. The sum total of our life is because of the choices we have already made. If we don't like how the last 10 years have been, we have to choose differently for the next 10 years. We have to choose wisely. One of the things that helped me is realize that I can't control everything. I may be pretty good at some things, but I can't control everything. There is a God, but I'm not him. I can't control my wife. I can't control my kids. I can't control my church. I can't control everything. So what do I do where my wife, my kids, my church, government, all that's concerned? I cast all the care over on the Lord. Somebody said, well, when are you going to be responsible? I am. I do what I know to do and let him take care of what I can't do. I have a lot of expectations for a lot of people, a lot of situations. I can only do what I can do. And I have to become content with that. You know, I can choose to think I can do it all, and I can be like the guy who took the old lady across the street. And he got to the other side and he was all beat up. Somebody asked, why are you so beat up? He said, she didn't want to go. How many times in life are we trying to take people places that they don't want to go? We're trying to impose our tempo on them. They're not ready for that yet. Let the Lord deal with them. And you back out of the way. Amen. Let the Lord deal with them. Hear this. You're not going to get my praise either. I'm going to keep singing to the Lord. I don't care what's going on in my life. Clyde Oliver's going to keep singing. I'm going to keep worshiping. Oh, hallelujah. I was born to worship. You were born to worship. See, if you're troubled about many things, you're not singing. At least you're not singing unto the Lord. And you know, you have to be careful what you listen to. Because some things can incite you to action that's not according to the scriptures. Some things can incite you to go off on people and in a way you wish you had never done it. Some things can cause you to become violent. You ever see somebody slap somebody? They was like, I'm like, why did you slap me? Because I had enough. You know, when you see a person, their nose starts spreading like the bull, back off. Just back off. Don't say another word. Be cool. Because you don't know what the next step is when their nose is in that position. Back off. Mary has chosen that good part. She'd chosen to hear the word of the Lord. Now, Mary had her good points, too. Notice she sat at Jesus' feet. I applaud you for coming today to church. As we can see, a lot of folks didn't make it today. I hope they are at church somewhere. Next, she heard his word. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by and hearing by the. She put first things first. Matthew 6:32-33. She put first things first. Also, this was the Mary. Hear this. This was the Mary that anointed Jesus's feet. Now, notice this happened after her brother Lazarus was raised up from the dead. She poured that oil on his feet and wiped it with her hair. My God. I mean, just think, this is her brother, Lazarus, that's been raised from the dead. Was 4 days dead in the tomb, wrapped up with a cloth over his face. And she witnessed. First of all, the scripture said Jesus wept. Jesus is moved with what moves you. Sometimes we think we're the only one. But no, Jesus is moved with what move you, what concerns you. She wept, or he wept. And so Jesus prayed before them, before all that were gathered together. He said, Father, I thank you that you've already heard me. In other words, he had already prayed before he showed up that day. Oh, glory to God. He said, but I'm saying what I'm saying for these that are around. In other words, there are going to be some witnesses to some answered prayer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. The Bible said the dead man that was wrapped up just came out. Now think about it. The word of the Lord was so powerful. God wants to move in your situation and circumstance like that too. The word was so powerful. If you understood the embalming process that they go through, that was no small task for Lazarus to come out of there, even if he was alive. I'm talking about the power of God. And just think, if you are lying in a position, most people when they bury them, they lay them down. Right. So from that position of lying down, he came out of there was enough power to get him from a lying position to a standing position. And you worried about what? I mean, Martha said, Lord, hold on now. Lazarus is stinking right now. His body has an odor. He's been in there 4 days. Jesus ignored everything she said. Glory. And he came out. And the scripture said he was wrapped up and he had this cloth across his face too. Jesus' next words were, loose him and let him go. I'm telling you, when we invite the Lord into our situation, we'll have similar experiences. Those that are bound will be set free. That lets us know when you're dead, there's nothing impossible with the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Nothing impossible with the Lord. What are you fretting about? There's nothing impossible with him. Jesus said, all things are possible to him that would believe. Always stay in a place of faith and stay in a place of believing. Stay in a place of joy. Stay in a place of peace. Why? All things are possible to him that believes. Amen. And this same Mary, when Jesus, Martha was again cooking, she prepared a meal for them, supper for them. And Jesus sitting there said, the Bible said, Lazarus, that Jesus had raised from the dead, was sitting there eating with them too. And people come from all around to see him. Don't you know good news travel fast? And it's just about the time for the feast, too, to take place. And all of a sudden, Jesus is surrounded by all these people. Come to see this miracle that has been done. I believe God wants to show some people where you are concerned what he can do. Amen. So that people from far around can show up and begin to testify of what the Lord can do. Amen. Now, the religious people, they may not like it because they didn't even like Lazarus, because the religious leaders, they said, look at this. This guy raised this man up from the dead. They said the whole world is going after him. It seemed like they would be happy. But, you know, people that are jealous have wrong motives. The whole world is gone after him. You know why? Because of money. They say a lot of people left them and came over to him. They say, oh, you know, and I know when people leave someplace, they take their money with them. Hey, when you leave that temple, brother, when you leave that temple, you move from that temple, you know, you take your tithe, your offering, everything. Man, did you know the offering's going? What's the offering like today? See, some people doing things because of the numbers. And as long as they got the numbers, then everything's all right. But if the number's not right, whether it's the people, the money, or whatever, they're going to like, hold on now. What's causing this? What's draining this? Well, that man over there, he's doing all these miracles. No, we ain't got no miracles over here, but he got miracles over there. People are set free. Their lives are changed. Oh, my God. And so the religious leaders, they said, you know what? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to set a plot. We're going to plot. We're going to kill both of them. I mean, think of these religious people. They're in the killing. And even though they got the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. If you act up, we're going to kill you. They want to kill Jesus. And they want to kill Lazarus also, because Lazarus was the one that was getting all the, he was the main attraction. You think everybody would rejoice with you when good things happen? Everybody won't rejoice with you. Some things show them up. Some things show what is lacking in them. Oh, glory to God. But hear this. One thing is needful. I'm not through with this, but I'm going to wrap it up right here. But I just felt impressed of the Lord to just kind of emphasize Mary and Martha. First of all, to appreciate the good points about both of them, but also bring it back to the front and center. Jesus said, even though you have many challenges in life, there's one thing that's needful. You're not going to be successful if you don't pay attention and make the main thing the main thing. If you don't make the word priority in your life. He said, Mary has chosen Martha, that good part that will not be taken away from her. And you know what? You and I have to do the same thing. We have to do the same thing. So right now, I want you to just put everything down, and I just want you to just kind of close your eyes right now and just Because I don't believe the Lord just had me speak this just to be speaking a message. I believe this is applicable to your everyday life and what you're dealing with right now. Things you may have faced in life or maybe even facing right now. And I just want you to come to a place of closure on some things. And just allow God to be God in the midst of every situation, in the midst of every circumstance. Lord, oftentimes we are like Marthas. Oftentimes we are about doing good, trying to make a difference. Many times there are many frustrations that come in living this life. Sometimes our frustration gets the best of us. Sometimes because people don't do what they're supposed to do. It seems like people are always involved one way or another. We become frustrated. But we don't have to take high blood pressure medicine and all these things because there's a better way. And we like your way better. And we love the side effects. So I want everybody here today to just simply repeat after me. Dear Lord, I ask you to forgive me for not giving you first place in my life. You care about me and all that's involved in my life. I repent for trying to carry everything by myself. Lord, I lay it down now. I choose you. I choose your way. I choose to stay in a place of peace. I choose to stay in a place of faith. I choose to stay in a place of love. I choose you, oh God. I choose like Mary chose. That good part that will not be taken away. Lord, I believe today that as I've heard this message, wholeness has come to me. And I accept it today to be the person that you want me to be. I lay it all down at your feet and I worship you only. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. I lay it all down. I lay it all down. I lay it all down and worship you. I lay it all down. I lay it all down. I lay it all down and worship you. And worship you. And worship you. Satan, repeat after me. Satan, I resist you and all your thoughts of worry. All your thoughts that try to get me to abandon the word of God. I resist you in Jesus' name. And I'll not allow you to steal my faith, to steal my peace, to steal my love, to steal my joy. 'cause I lay it all down.